Okay, well, first of all, I would like to warn you that player versus player combat cannot be learned in class. I cannot learn you how to beat player versus player combat. I can learn you what it is and what it looks like and what you can expect and how he handles it. But if you want to learn to be good at player versus player combat, you gotta get out there and you gotta try shooting someone and you're gonna get your ship blown up. And that's how you learn it. So this is really just a, well, more of a tutorial, and that's why I'm adding a practical after that, so we can see what we really make out of player versus player combat. Okay, I'll cover what player versus player combat actually is, then I'll cover how the Uni handles PvP, how Uni creates a fleet and how you are able to join it, and what a Uni looks like. After that I'll talk about how to manage the risk of losing your ship and lose a pod, and how to reduce the risk of losing both. Then I'll be talking about the kill board, how to post kill mills and loss mills. I'll shortly cover other forms of PvP. I'll also shortly cover the university rules of engagement. I expect to know them by now, but I'm going to cover them very quickly nevertheless, so you can ask some questions about them. And last, I'll cover some of the different PvP environments. And after that, you'll have the ability to ask some questions, and then we'll form a fleet. Okay, first of all, player versus player, what it is exactly? Well, there are many forms of player versus player in there's combat player versus player, blowing each other's ships up. There's economic player versus player, using the market to outmaneuver other alliances or other corps or other players. There's also a large part of psychological player versus player. I'll be covering only the combat player versus player in this class, i.e. blowing each other's ships up. Player versus player is different from player versus environment in that way that, well, you're fighting real-life enemies, of course, and tackling, warp scrambling, warp disrupting, and electronic warfare play a essential role in player versus player, but, well, they don't really play a role in player versus environment. Also, in a player versus player battle, there will be a lot of damage in a very short time, and, well, there will also be a lot of chaos, a lot of ships blowing up around you, and then it's all over. In player versus environment, missions can take hours sometimes, so very big difference. This also means that player versus player ships, player versus player fittings, are very different usually from player versus environment fittings. Okay, I'll be covering the university player versus player fleet now. A university player versus player fleet is organized into several structures of command. At the top you have the fleet commander. The fleet commander is the boss. He forms the fleet. He decides what you're going to do and how the fleet is going to do that. If you are anyone but the fleet commander, then whatever he says is lol. Even if he is wrong, a fleet commander is right, and just for the coherence of a fleet, it's very important that you listen to a fleet commander at all times. Under the fleet commander come wing commanders. Not all university fleets have a wing commander. I'm forgetting one very important thing about a fleet commander, and that is anyone can be one. Anyone university can step up to alliance chat and ask for a fleet. Anyone can form a fleet and go out into space and shoot legitimate targets, of course. It's a daunting task, that is true, but, well, I urge you to at least try it a few times. I know a lot of players who were very anxious to start as a fleet commander initially, but once they got into it, well, it's a very rewarding job as well. If you get a fleet together and it's a successful fleet, well, there's not much like that, Neve. So I urge you all to try to be a fleet commander once in your EVE University career. Because, well, the EVE University is quite unique in this aspect that practically any member can be a fleet commander whenever he so chooses. When you leave the university and you join other corporations, be it Pirates or a 00 security corporation or whatever, there will be very strict limitations on who can be a fleet commander and who can't. So, as long as you have the chance, I urge you to take that chance. Okay, moving on to wing commanders. Wing commanders don't always are a part of a university fleet. they are usually part of the larger fleets where they act as a second in command to the fleet commander. If a fleet commander gets killed in battle, then a wing commander is the first choice to take over command. Also, in a large fleet, he can manage his own wing, while a fleet commander is focusing on the very large and important strategic decisions. But like I said, you won't see them every time. Under wing commanders, you have individual squad commanders. Well, a squad commander is a very essential task of part of any university fleet. As a squad commander, you keep track of your squad. Usually, a squad commander has all his squad members in his watch list, so he can see if his squad members are part of the fleet's location. A squad commander also usually has his own squad chat channel, which is reserved for his squad members to ask some more detailed questions that don't really have a place in fleet chat. And he also manages any disconnections. If one of his squad members disconnects, he is in the squad chat, then he won't be disconnected from the squad chat, so he'll reappear there once he gets back online, and he can put an X in squad chat and the squad commander can get him back in. Quetzalcoatl asks, what are the requirements? Well, there are no requirements per se for either fleet commander, wing commander, or squad commander. However, it is advised that you train up your leadership skills, which you can find in your leadership tab, your skill book. Leadership skills allow you to give bonuses to your squad members, wing members, or fleet members, depending on the level or skills. However, it is not a requirement. You are free to X up as a squad, wing, or fleet commander whenever you desire. And if you express your wish to learn the ropes, but you don't have the skills yet, there are plenty of fleet commanders who will take you as a squad commander, even if you don't have any leadership skills. Well, last in the command chain of a fleet, there are the scouts. Scouts operate separately from the fleet itself. They are not physically with the fleet. They are a few jumps away, a few jumps behind, or ahead, or somewhere else entirely. A scout is vital to managing the intelligence of a fleet. They are the ones looking for the targets. They are the ones warning for incoming superior forces. And they are vital to the fleet. But because scouts are cloak and are invisible to pirates, it is very important that a scout's identity is kept a secret. So the name of scouts should never ever be mentioned in a after action report or the kill board. Salavo 2, this is the PvP class. Right now I'm covering fleets, but this is the PvP class. Later we'll form the fleet and head out, so you're in the right place. But make sure you are also on TeamSpeak in the class channel. Xolan1990 says, scouting sounds a bit thankless. Well, some people prefer not to scout because, well, there is a part that is a downside to scouts, and that is you won't appear on any kill mills, so you'll be pretty invisible there as well. And well, some people don't like that, but if you like to be a sneaky guy who is a vital part of a fleet, you can get within a few kilometers of huge pirate battleships who are camping a gate, and just sit there and look at them and calmly report their status to fleet, and then thanks to your intelligence a fleet can warp to those pirates and wipe them out. And I think that is a very thankful job. Scouts, contrary to the other roles, do have actual requirements. A real wartime scout is required to have a covered ops cloak and be in a ship that can warp cloaked. If you don't have those skills, then you can't be a scout wartime. However, if it's not war, then there are no requirements to a scout as well. Although it is still highly advised that you have the proper skills to be a cloaky scout. If it's any serious fleet, then a cloaky scout is really a requirement. Salavu 2 asks, you can also have a out of corp scout. No, our scouts are in corp, so there is a downside to that, but because you will appear in local, and pirates will see that there is a university member in local, and sometimes that is enough to make them run away like little children, and that is a downside to it. But it is a requirement that if you are in a university fleet, that you are also a member of the university. Well, these four I just mentioned, scouts, scout squad commanders, wing commanders and fleet commanders, form the command chain of a fleet. They will also, all of those will be in the command channel in TeamSpeak, and a normal fleet member won't be part of the channel. If you are in a fleet camping a gate and, well, command has been silent for a long time, that means probably that the command channel is very busy at that moment, that the fleet commander and the scouts are working out something nice for you, or trying to find the target. If you think it's boring not hear fleet command during a fleet, then, well, again, I advise you to train up leadership skills and to become one of the squad commanders or wing commanders, so that you know what's going on, or you become a scout and you can become another vital part of it. Wolf Heartbait asks, please shortly explain how to operate the command channel. Well, when you are in TeamSpeak and you have changed to the wing channel of your fleet, you can make yourself a channel commander by clicking on self and then clicking on the channel commander button. Then after that, you'll have to set up a separate push to talk key button for your command channel chat, so that when you press this separate button, you'll be only heard on the command channel but not on the normal channel, and when you press your normal push to talk button, you'll be heard on the entire channel. You can find on the wiki a more explained, more detailed explanation of how to set this up. I'm going to move on for now. Well, apart from this command, a fleet is usually divided into tacklers, electronic warfare, and damage dealing. These are all important fleet parts. Tacklers prevent pirates from warping away. I should say targets, not all targets are pirates. Tacklers prevent targets from warping away. Electronic warfare prevents them from dealing damage to the fleet, and damage dealing blows them up. That's a very, very crude description of three roles. There's a little bit more to it than that, of course, but to give you a basic idea. Well, usually a fleet commander tries to find a balance between the three roles. However, in a university fleet, it's often the case that there are a lot of tacklers, because tackling is something you can do from day one. You can be a tackler in a tech frigate with a warp disruptor strapped onto it and a micro warp drive, and you're practically to go from there. But damage dealing requires usually a bit more skills and larger ships to fly, so you can deal enough damage to kill the pirates in a timely fashion. So it can often happen that the proportions in the university fleet are a bit different than what you'll encounter in other corpses. However, this accounts for the usually famous university blob with a humongous amount of tacklers and electronic warfare and a small amount of damage dealing. But this can still be extremely effective, as most of you who have been on fleets before will be aware of. Now, are there any questions on a university fleet's composition? And don't ask any questions on how to join it, I'll be covering that now, but are there any questions about the composition? Atlas Raven asks, what about logistics? Well, logistics could theoretically be a role in a university fleet. However, in a standard university PvP fleets, you won't see them very soon, because it takes quite a bit of skill to manage tacklers properly, logistics properly, because logistics ships, for those who don't know that, are ships that are a support ship. They provide remote repairing capabilities to other ships, but they are usually a little bit more vulnerable themselves, because logistics ships are T2 cruiser hulls. So if any pirate spots a logistics ship, it is going to be primary. It's going to be primed even before any E-war is going to be shot. So it's very important to fly a it's very important to fly a logistics ship when you're a skilled pilot, but in a university fleet it might not be a good idea. Also, In wartime, I'm not sure about this, but I'm pretty sure in wartime that you cannot fly a logistics ship. Maugun asks, do Drakes have a place in PvP fleets? They definitely do. Drakes, for those that don't know, are Kaldari battlecruisers that have a very big shield and a very high passive recharge, which makes them awesome, like Alalfa says, damage sinks, and makes them awesome baits. The problem with Drakes is they are very, very well known for being bait, which kind of defeats their purpose, because pirates will know that you are trying to bait them if they see a Drake sitting somewhere in an asteroid belt. So personally, I don't really like Drakes, but there are of course other configurations for Drakes which are more fitted for damage dealing, which can be perfectly viable in a university fleet. Aeroplane asks, well, how about hand drakes? Well, that's what I'm talking about. Hand drakes, or heavy assault missile drakes, are more fitted for damage dealing, and well, that's less of a bait, more of a raw damage dealing, and that's perfectly fine in university fleet. Eindrid says, well, thank you for that, looking that up, Eindrid. Logistic ships are not prohibited during a wartime fleet. However, I would still be very, very, personally, I would be very, very wary of stepping into one in university fleet. First of all, I don't really see the use for it, because usually we are in relatively small-sized fleet, small-sized ships, but a large number. And your logistics ships really come to their biggest effect when they are in a fleet of, let's say, battleships, where each battleship is a very vital part of the fleet, and you want to keep those battleships alive as long as possible. That's where logistics shine. Logistics are very, very popular in 0-0 fleets, but in a uni fleet, well, you can fly it, you can fly whatever you want, but I wouldn't advise it. Brutus, well, asks, what about a tank? This is moving a little bit more into the SOP and the rules of engagement. I'll be covering those later in the class, and then I'll ask any questions about the rules of engagement and the standard operating procedure. Aeroplane asks, if flying a logistics ship are the most important to have in a watch list. Well, this is not really the class to go into logistics ships for any more detail. If you are interested in logistics ships, there is a very good class, I believe it has been recorded by Miners through Logistics 101. You can look that up and see what he has to say about it. Okay, now moving on to how to join a university fleet. Before you do anything in a university fleet, there's a checklist you should go through personally. First of all, you should have a up-to-date medical clone. Your medical clone should have more skill point capacity than your current clone has. So let's say you are a relatively young character, you have like 1 million skill points, then you should have a spare medical clone with more than a million skill points ready, because if you get potted and you don't have a sufficient clone, then you're going to lose skill points, and that's going to hurt. Second, you need a ship insurance. And again, the insurance reduces the loss you have when your ship is invariably going to be blown up in a fleet. With an insurance, a part of your ship value will be repaid to you by an NPC corporation. So especially in tier 1 ships, this will make a lot of difference. You'll have very little loss. I'll be covering more of the risk prevention methods in fleets a little more later. And the third thing you should be prepared for before acting up in a fleet is the implants in your head. You should be willing to lose them. It shouldn't be too much of a deal. The first rule in EVE is don't fly what you can't afford to lose. I'd make an addition to that and say don't plug in what you can't afford to lose. If you are going to fly around with +5 implants, which cost a lot of ISK, and you get potted, then everything is gone. All your implants are gone. So an option is, I'll be covering that later also, is to have a jump. Fourth thing you really need before a fleet is that your overview should be set up. I just linked the overview setup guide in the class channel. If you have not set up your overview to the uni regulations at this moment, then you'll have to go do that right now if you want to be a part of the fleet that I'll be forming later, because it's a requirement that you have your overview set up. If you don't have your overview set up right now, you need to be in space to do so. You can do this by undocking in a tier 1 frigate. Of course, you first make sure if there's no war targets in local. If there aren't, you undock in a tier 1 frigate and you warp yourself to the pass. And while sitting in the pass, you can take your time in setting up the overview. Next, there is also a very important thing. You should have auto target back turned off. You can find this option in the main menu if you press escape. And if you go to the general settings tab, then at the bottom of the screen you will see a window, and this window will display auto target back, and next to that a scroll down menu with the number of targets. This number of targets should be set to 0. If it's not set to 0, then you're in a lot of trouble when a neutral is targeting in a fleet and your modules are running hot. Hot running modules means that those modules will activate the moment you have a target. It's indiscriminate about what target that is, so that's the reason why auto targeting should be set completely off. Dirty Sparks asks, can you repeat it please? Go to the main menu using escape and go to the general settings tab. If you don't know where the pause is, when I'm going to take out the fleet, we will be grouping up at the pause, and by that time you can warp to me. I don't do that now, I'm still docked up, you'll have to wait a bit. Okay, next thing you should be prepared for is that you should fly a ship that you are happy to lose. Well, maybe not happy, no one likes losing a ship, but willing to lose. Again, don't fly what you're for to lose, golden rule of Eve. It's also very nice, of course, if you actually understand ship a bit, so fly what you're feeling comfortable with. Next is you should rename your ship to a name that does not include your character name. You can rename your ship if, while in dock, right click on your ship and at the bottom of the menu you can see change name. If you click that, you can fill in any name. You can change your ship's name to, well, whatever name you want, just don't include your name or any indication that you are a part of the diversity. The reason for this is when pirates are looking for you, they can, on directional scan, they can see your ship name, but they can't see who is piloting what ship. However, if your ship has your character name in it, then they immediately know who is piloting what ship. You are at a big disadvantage then. Eindried, thank you very much. For those that don't know where the pass is, Eindried is at the pass right now. You can warp to him. Be aware that the warp time rules are in effect, so you can only undock if you're in a shuttle or in a tier 1 frigate. Bullborn asks, can they see the type of ship? Yes, they can see that. They can see what type of ship and that ship's name on directional scan, but they can't see its pilot. Quetzalcoatl asks, can I warp to a safe pod to set up my overview? No, you can't. The only legitimate area to be in space during war is the pause. If you're not in the pause, you should be docked. Okay, next thing you should be required to be is to be an Aldred before a fleet starts, especially so during war. If there's not a war, then this is not as strict. If you're close by, you can make it back in time usually, but just don't act up when you're at the other side of the universe and expect them to wait for you. Well, last of all, but well, you should be hearing this if you are, you should be registered on TeamSpeak, of course, before you enter. Okay, well, once you have gone through that checklist, then you're ready to create a fleet, to enter a fleet, and you can do so by looking at Alliance. The Alliance tab is you make fleets. A fleet commander, when he is creating a fleet, will ask for roles in Alliance, and you can accept when your current role is asked. It is very important that you don't clutter Alliance with any other messages. If you have something to report to your fleet commander, then before axing up or after axing up, then use another channel. Convo him, use corp channel, use fleet channel, but don't clutter up Alliance. It's also very important that you ax up when your role is called. It's very frustrating for a fleet commander to see people axing up right through it if he didn't ask for that. And it's very easy to keep track of it, so just keep in mind, be patient, and well, trust that your fleet commander will get you in the fleet if there's still room. Yes, like Atlas Raven says, after all roles have been asked for, there's usually a space where the fleet commander asks for any last roles, so anyone who missed up the first time can X up at that last moment. Just don't X up when a fleet is closed. If it's closed, it's closed, and there are plenty of other fleets to join up on. Also, don't ask a question, fleet commander, about where it's what they're going to do. First of all, those are sensitive. That's sensitive information. Often even the fleet, when they are in the fleet, won't know where they are going until they are there. This is reserved for the command channel. Not always, but in many cases. This is because, mainly because of intelligence concerns. Always assume that there are spies in our university. They are almost always here, and they will be watching Alliance Chat, and they will be watching Corp Chat, and they will maybe even be in the fleet itself. So keep that in mind whenever you're asking for intelligence. Like Captain Banana Man, for example, he is a very famous of our spies. Sean Deere makes a very good point. The Alliance Chat is the only legitimate way in, there are other chats where you can form a fleet, but it's you may not use the Fleet Finder and the adverts to form a university wartime fleet, because those are much too vulnerable to intelligence leaks. Are there any questions about joining a university fleet? Selavu2 asks, how do you find a fleet op? Well, nice thing is about university fleets, the greater majority of them are formed in Alliance, and you should always have your Alliance channels open. In fact, I don't think you can close Alliance channel. So if you are looking for a fleet, wait for Alliance channel for a fleet commander to ask for one. If you don't want to wait for that, you're always free to form your own fleet. Ask for help if you don't know how to do that. There are always plenty of people in the corporation or in the command channel, if you are a member of the Ivy League Navy, who will help you out with forming a fleet. Feel free to do so. Sometime has got to be your first time. Okay, if there are no more questions, I'm going to move on to managing the risk of PvP. Aeroplane asks, forming a small fleet requires some skills. If you are talking about skills as in skill points, I'll be covering smaller gang fleets later on in the different forms of PvP, so I can answer your question then. Shori Laya asks a very good question. If you can fly different roles, how do you X up? Just pick one and ask a fleet chat. Well, that's a perfect example of how to do it correctly. How not to do it is ask an alliance and say, whatever you need or something like that, X up for a role. If you are feeling comfortable with any role, X up that. And don't feel too bad if it's a little bit out of proportion. If it is, the fleet commander will mention that. It's his responsibility to balance it out. That is not your responsibility. Lobane gives another example which I would not use, like XDD/T. Don't do that. X up for the role that is being asked for, and if a fleet commander feels there are too many tacklers and he wants to get some more damage dealing, then he will sort that out in the fleet channel, not in Alliance. So ask X up for a fleet role and leave it at that for the moment. Cloud brings up a very good point. If you are in the pass shield, you are to stay still at all times, not move. Stay still. The reasons for that is you can bump other ships out of the pass shield and then they will be vulnerable. Make it a habit that when you're in the pass, your ship is at 0 meters per second and keep it that way. Very important. Okay, I'll be moving on to risk management. Well, I mentioned some of those earlier. Insurance, medical clones. Are there any questions about those two? Well, excellent. Then we'll be moving on to jump clones. Jump clones are copies of yourself that, like the word says, you can jump into. If there's a jump clone installed somewhere, you can choose to jump into that clone. You will leave the implants in the clone you left behind in that clone, so you won't be taking your implants with you. But if there are any implants in the clone that you're jumping into, then those implants will take effect. This is very useful if you are, for example, if you have two jump clones, and one is a learning jump clone, which has like +4 or +5 learning implants, and the other is a PvP jump clone, which has hardwiring implants to improve your PvP skills. Thank you very much, Olenia, for linking that wiki site. On that site you can see how the uni can provide you a jump clone. Like the site says, it is very important not to talk to any of the agents providing us jump clones, because then they won't be available to us. I'm not going to go into detail about how the mechanic for a jump clone availability works. It's all explained in detail on the wiki itself. I'm just going to mention that you need the Infomorph cycle psychology skill to get access to jump clones yourself. Each level of infomorph psychology allows you to have one additional jump clone. The next and very essential part of risk management is the pod saver routine. It's quite difficult to be pod killed in high security and low security space if you pay attention to the pod saver tab and if you know when to use it. You should see it like this. When you are in a combat fleet and you come under attack and you are, for example, in a frigate, and a lot of ships are starting to shoot at you, then first of all you are going to try to warp out. You're always free to warp out, but chances are you're being warp scrambled, so you can't warp away. Once you find that out, you should open the pod saver tab. You should click on any celestial that shows up in that tab, and in the selected item window you should start spamming the jump warp to button like crazy. This works as follows. These warp to commands will store server side, but because you are being scrambled in your ship, nothing is going to happen. Now if you get lucky and you get out of warp scrambling range, you'll immediately warp away, so your ship is safe. But if your ship gets blown up, then you'll be spawned into your pod. Your pod is technically another ship. That pod is not targeted and not warp scrambled at that moment. And because you have been spamming this warp to button, the moment you get into that pod, you'll warp away. This is instantly, because pods don't have any aligning time. Now it's very important that you start spamming this warp to button before you see your ship explode because of lag. Your ship is dead sometimes several seconds before you actually see it explode, and depending on your lag and your enemy's lag, they might see it explode earlier than you. They might have started targeting your pod, and before you know it, your pod is warp scrambled as well and you're in goo waking up at your medical station. So start spamming this warp to button or pod saver tab before you see your ship explode. Are there any questions about preventing, about managing the risks of PvP? Xolani1990 asks, how do you open a second tab on the overview? I am not in space myself at the moment and I don't recall out of the top of my head, I'm afraid. If someone else does, please answer this question for him. However, you should be aware that you can change the current tab you are viewing by clicking on the white triangle in the top left of your overview, and then you can see the list of your saved overview settings, so that's PvP, PvP travel, etc., etc., and somewhere at the bottom there should be the pod saver tab. So you click that pod saver tab and click on celestial, and then you can start spamming that warp to button. Okay, we're moving on to the kill ward. This is going to take a little longer than I predicted, I'm afraid, so I'll be moving as quick as possible. If you are in a PvP combat operation and you lose your ship, then you will have received a loss mail. It's not actually an email or eve mail. It used to be, but it's not anymore. You can see this loss mail in your combat log on your character sheet. If you open your character sheet, at the bottom you see combat log, and then there are the kills and losses tab. Well, these speak for themselves. Losses is the ship you lost. Kills is the ship you had a final blow on. So not the ships you helped kill, but only the ships you actually blew up. If you lose your ship, you can copy this information using the paper icon on the right side, and then go to the kill board and copy this information onto the kill board and fill in the password, and you can post your loss mail. The exact instruction can be found on the link I just posted. If you open that link, you can you'll have a step-by-step way of posting a loss mail or a kill mail. I have to stress that especially loss mails, it is mandatory that you post a comment on it after you post it. First of all, if you don't post a comment on loss, I'm pretty sure you're not eligible for the lost ship replacement program. And second of all, the directors will get pretty upset if you're not posting any comments on your loss mails. So do that. It's very simple, just say what happened, especially if it's something a little bit uncommon. But regardless of the state, always post a comment. On kill mails, a comment is not required, but of course it can be very fun to gloat on your targets if you shot him. Are there any questions about kill mails? Ghost, go ahead. If you were in a sponsored university fleet, I mean official, how do I come to sponsored, official university fleet, and you lose your ship in a PvP action, you don't lose it, then you're in big trouble because you're considered a spy or a cheater or whatever else, and you get it talking to by the directors. Always post your lost mails or your kill mail. Solan asks, did you say only final blows get the kill mill? That is correct. Only if you are the ship that actually fired the shot that blew up the ship, you will be the one to receive the kill mill, and you should be the one that has to post it on the kill board. Excalibur Templar asks, where do you get a lost mill from again? It's not an Eve mill, it used to be, that's why it's called a lost mill. You will now find it on your character sheet, on the combat log, on the losses tab. Fordil makes a good point. You don't have to post any lost mills if you are shot by NPCs in a mission or whatever, or if you are shot by another university member. Redone Toulon asks, do you not show up on killboards unless you have killed or died in PvP? You do show up. The way it works is the kill mill registers who was involved in killing that target ship, and everyone that was involved, even those that don't affect it any damage, but only warp disrupted or turret disrupted or scrambled or whatever or jammed it, all of them will show up on the kill mill. But only the killing blow guy will get the kill mill itself on his character sheet. Okay, I'm moving on to other alternate forms of PvP. The university is best known for its large uni blobs, but there are plenty of other forms of PvP. First of all, there is the small gang warfare, which is very popular among the more decent pirates who don't hot drop a carrier or anything that moves. And it also can be very fun for unistas. If you go with a few other people, like maybe one full squad, 10 people, and a scout, that could be considered a small gang. Personally, anything bigger than that, and I would not be inclined to call it a small gang anymore. A small gang fleet tends to be much more relaxed than the strict regulated large fleets. Often it's the case that there is no separate command channel, so that everyone can hear what's going on and what the scouts are finding, and everyone can share his opinion on what to do. It's also much more important what ships you bring, and also it's much more important not necessarily your skill points, but your experience, and whether you know your own ship, and whether you know the ships that your fleetmates are flying with, and whether you know the ships that you're going to encounter. It's very important that you can make a dedicated guess whether one target is possible to kill, or whether you should be running away. Also, if you are in a small gang, although this might not be the case in university, but if you are in a small gang in another corporation, then you are much more likely to get into a fight because people won't run away from the big blob they're bringing, because there isn't. However, in university it might happen that they run away anyway because we are the university and they are expecting a big blob, even if there isn't one, which is a shame. But we can't really help that, and it's pretty hilarious when you're with a five-man fleet and 10 pirates on a gate camp are running away like little children because you just warped into them. Also, if you want experience as a squad commander or as a scout or to see what command channel is like, then a small gang can be very, very, very helpful in that. First of all, because you're with few people, you'll have much more room to ask questions and to get some individual tutoring. And second of all, because usually the team speak is not split up into a command channel, you can hear what the scouts are doing, so you can learn by proxy, just by listening to what they are doing, because scouts usually report almost everything they do, which is good. So if you want some experience into fleets and how they work, I advise you to try to find some small gangs and get to those. Just for your information, I'll probably be forming quite a few small gangs in the coming weeks. So if you want in one, just convo me in game. Of course, because it's a small gang, I have to limit the size, so only a select few people can get into it. But I will not be restricting it to skill points or whatever. So even if you're one day old and you want to be a small gang, just ask me and maybe I'll get a feed together. The next form of PvP is solo PvP. Solo PvP is, very, very difficult. Eve is not really built for solo PvP. You have to expect to lose the majority of your ships. You have to expect runaway the majority of the fights. I heard one guy talking about solo PvP once like this. He had about 50 rifters, and he just took his rifter, fitted it out with T1 equipment, so that doesn't even cost a million in total, that's dirt cheap, and he just went out looking for targets, see what he could find. He lost about 40 of them, but then when he arrived at his 41st rifter, he found the target and he killed it, and that made up for all the 40 rifters he lost previously. Just to give you an indication of what you can expect if you're going out alone. Of course, if you're going out it alone, it can be very rewarding if you actually manage to kill someone. I remember some time ago there was a Unista who went out into a Griffin. A Griffin is the Kaldari Tier 1 E-War frigate, so it's not even a real combat frigate, it was an E-War frigate, and he managed to solo kill, I don't know what it was, but it was something expensive, in a Tier 1 frigate that is completely cheap. Well, if you can pull that off, that is of course absolutely amazing. But, well, to be honest, I'm not going to try it out because I'm a big coward and I want a fleet around me. Are there any questions? There are of course a lot more forms of PvP. There's the 0-0 blob warfare, which is an all different story altogether, and there are more forms, but well, first of all, I don't have much experience with them, and second of all, they are not very relevant to a uni member. You are free to look them up in the uni wiki, but I'm not going to cover them here. Are there any questions about small gang warfare and solo PvP? Yes, Lobane brings up a good point in solo PvP. Basically, you are relying on your enemy to make a mistake, because you will almost always be outgunned, so you have to outsmart them. You have to be really smart in what you're doing, and you have to find those pirates who think they're smart, but are idiots, and kill them. Wolf Heartblade asks, any suggestions how to really find enemies or on baits? To be honest, I really can't answer that question myself because I am not that good with edit. I just go out somewhere where it's... I go to infamous systems. There are quite a few infamous systems like Rancer, like Hagrid, like Old Man Star. Those are all infamous low-sec systems where a lot of pirates hang out. Amamaki is a very good... if you go there, you are guaranteed you are guaranteed to see a fight most of the time, and you are almost always guaranteed to die very quick. But if you want to find pirates, those are the systems to look for. A very handy thing for targets of opportunity is the dotlan maps. I'll link them for a moment. The Eve in-game map can be very useful, but it doesn't have that many statistics. The dotlan maps, no. There you go, those are the dotland maps. The dotland maps are very useful if you want to check out the statistics of certain systems, how many pod kills or ship kills there were, how many ships there were active, if there were any sinusoidal fields in that system, etc., etc. And if you want to plan a fleet, that is a very useful tool. If there are no more questions about alternate forms of PvP, I'm going to move on to the rules of engagement and the standard operating procedure. Well, first rule of EVE University, you should know these rules. You really should. Ignorance is not very easily forgiven about these rules here. It's very important that you know them. Of course, saying this, I realize I don't know every single rule of them out the top of my head. So it's very useful if you have this link ready. If you are in doubt, assume something is not allowed by the uni, and check it out on the wiki or ask someone. And if you really, 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 really don't find it out yourself, ask a director, but don't pester them about every tiny thing because they have better things to do. Saying that, there are a lot of rules. I expect you know the most of them. I'll cover very shortly the rules concerning what targets we can shoot at. Basically, now that we are at war, there are several targets we can shoot at. First of all, there are the war targets. The funny thing is with war targets, there are no rules. You can shoot war targets anywhere. You can do anything with them. You can completely overwhelm them. You can go to Jita and station camp them if you want. It might not be the best idea, but you can. Basically, a war is where Concord has been bribed, so they won't interfere when you start shooting at each other. And they don't. You can do anything with a war target. A war target will show up as a red, a deep red flashy on your overview if your overview has been set up according to the Uni rules, of course, so it's easy to identify them once they get on grid with you. The next thing we can shoot at is Outlaws. Outlaws, or Pirates, are players with a security status of below -5.0. This means a character with a security status of -5.0 is not an outlaw, and a character with a security status of -5.1 is an outlaw. Outlaws can be shot at also anywhere, although you won't encounter them in high security space, because an outlaw in high security space will get Concorde on him, so he won't get there unless he's in a pod. If you encounter an outlaw pod in high security, you're free to shoot at it, but someone help me out with this, I'm not quite sure if I remember it rightly. Do you get a security hit yourself if you shoot an outlaw pod? Thank you, Shandir. You don't lose security status. I now remember, you don't lose security status when you shoot an outlaw pod. However, you do lose security status if you shoot a global criminal countdown pod. Now, you should be aware, Cloud brings up a good point with outlaws. I'll be getting into GCCs after the outlaws, James, and then we'll cover the difference. You should be aware with outlaws, as long as you're not shooting an outlaw, he cannot legitimately shoot at you unless he wants to take another security hit. Now, in low security space, an outlaw isn't really bothered with security status. However, say for example, an outlaw is -4.5. The thing is, the high security space gets closed off to outlaws in a gradual manner. So that means a outlaw with security status of -2.5 gets shot at in 1.0 space, and an outlaw with -3 will get shot at in 0.9, and so on and so on. So it's possible to encounter a almost outlaw, to put it like this, in a 0.5 security system. These outlaws may try lure you into shooting them. Don't, because once you shoot them and they are not really -5.1 or lower, you will get concorded. However, I realize that this subject of Concorde games, as I like to call them, is pretty complicated and can take a whole other class, so I am not covering them in any more detail. But be prepared when encountering pirates. Next are GCCs, or Global Criminal Countdowns. Global Criminal Countdowns are people that have just committed a criminal act in the past half hour. When they have done that, they will become flashy and they are a legitimate target, even though the security status might not be below -5.0. So let's say someone has just flipped your can and he will go flashy, he's a GCC to you and you can shoot him. But when you start shooting him, he can start shooting you back without any repercussions. When we are in a university fleet and we encounter a GCC, they are considered fair game. You can shoot at them because they are flashy. However, I should make you aware of this. There are corporations that are pirate corporations with players with a low security status, but the corporation has a high standing with the university. If your overview is set up correctly and you are in your PvP tab, then these ships should not show up in your PvP tab. They are also not legitimate targets because they are friends of the university or friendly to the university. However, this happens sometimes. If they shoot you, if they shoot at the uni, they are at that moment targets of opportunity. But that is also a diplomatic issue, so if they do, they should probably be brought up our diplomat, Ildrath Renar. Now, there are also characters in space, everywhere in space, which don't have a low security rating, so they are not criminals, but they have a -5 or -10 rating with the uni, so the uni hates them. These are also legitimate targets in low security space. Don't shoot at them in high security space because they are not outlaws, so when you shoot at them there, you will get concorded because you are not at war with them. Concorde doesn't support your actions because they are not pirates, but the university likes it when you shoot at them. So when you encounter them in low security space, go ahead, but be aware that when you shoot at these people, you will get a security hit, because again, Concorde doesn't like you shooting at them, so your security rating go down. Yeah, you'd also be aware that when you're fighting a bad standing pilot in low sec and you're at the gate, that the gate guns will open fire on you and not on him. So you have to be able to take that or you'll get shot. Next, there are neutrals or blues that have opened fires on us. If they do, we can shoot back. If they don't, leave them alone. Because if you shoot at them while they are neutral, then the university as a whole is in a lot of trouble, and our diplomat Ildarth is going to be very angry at you because he has to do all the all the kissing up and making good to them. Actually, I don't know if he does any kissing up, but he has to be the one who has to fix a problem that you caused because you shot at a neutral. So don't shoot at neutrals unless they shot at you first. Okay, are there any questions about these valid targets? Yes, Cloud, that works as well. So Lani1990 asks, do you lose security status from opening fire on a non-war target or outlaw in low security? Well, a non-war target can be anyone who is not at war with us, so that can be literally anyone, so I can't really answer that question. However, you don't lose security status if you shoot at an outlaw, because Concord hates them, so they like you when you shoot them, so your security status doesn't actually go down. I'm not 100% sure, but I think your security status doesn't actually go up, player pirate. It only goes up when shooting at NPC pirate. But feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. Well, we've been going on about this long enough. I'm going to move into PvP environments very quickly. Then we'll be taking a break, and after that we're going to form the fleet and do some pirate hunting. And hopefully pirate shooting and pirate killing. And hopefully we won't pick a bone up. Anyway, PvP environment. Well, like I said, we have high security space, low security space, and zero space. High security space, basically high security space PvP, is only a war or a suicide game. A war is, well, like I said earlier, you bribe Concord so they don't mind you shooting at each other, so they won't interfere when you do. There are also, yeah, good point, Shandir, I forgot about those. There is suicide ganking, which is shooting at one because getting their wreck is worth more than losing your ship. Near salvaging, which is salvaging a missioner's wreck, so finding them in the missioning area by using probes, then warping to the missioning area and stealing his wrecks. There's a extra dimension to ninja salvaging, where you are not actually after the wrecks, but you're hoping that the missioner is going to shoot at you, because like I said before, the missioner can shoot at you because you have just gone flashy because you're looting his wrecks. But the moment he opens fire on you, he goes flashy as well, so you can shoot right back. And what happens usually is that the near salvager then warps out and comes back in a PvP ship and shoots the shiny PvE ship. And there you go. So be very wary when encountering near salvagers. Also be aware that you are not allowed near salvage while in university. Yes, there are various tricks to deal with near salvagers. I'm not going to go into them right now. There's also can flipping, which is like ninja salvaging but with miners. Miners usually drop cans in asteroid fields where they have stored their minerals. A can flipper opens those containers, so he goes flashy to the miner. Then hopefully the miner attacks him with his drones or whatever, and he blows up the mining ship. Kind of the same as ninja salvaging. Good point, Cloud. Baiting can flippers is not allowed in the university. Low Bane. Well, that is a gray line. I'm not going to, I'm not sure, so I'm not going to answer it, because I might give you a wrong answer. If you are prepared for something, I guess that's okay, but, well, be sure that you are following the rules before you are going to try something like that, because it's a gray area. So Lani brings up a good point. If you are mining, you're not PvP fitted, so you won't be prepared. Well, there you go. Okay, that's most of the PvP activity in high security space. Then there is low security space, where in my opinion the most interesting forms of PvP take place. Like I said before, in low security space you can shoot outlaws. Outlaws are going to try to shoot you because they aren't outlaws for nothing. So it's really the pirate systems. There are no player-owned star bases in low security space. There are player-owned structures like bosses, which are towers, but there aren't actually stations. So there are no no big alliances and stuff like that. Low security space is usually small pirate warps, hunting, going around from place to place. A lot of those have a carrier in a pos, and that's a big letdown. but mostly it's just pirate fighting. Docking games is a form of PvP that takes place in LoSAC a lot, because there are actually NPC stations in LoSAC. Pirates like to hang out around stations within docking range, and whenever someone shows up to shoot them, they just de-aggress and dock up. They have to de-aggress because when you're fighting, you get an aggression timer, and that aggression timer lasts 1 minute or 30 seconds, and during that 1 minute or 30 seconds, you can't dock up or use a stargate. Finally, there are 00 space. 00 space is where the big alliances are. 00 space has claimable sovereignty, so those star systems are actually owned by player-owned alliances. Because the university is a neutral organization, most of these spaces are off-limits for us. There are NPC 00 spaces. Some of those can be reached without going through player-owned 00 space, and you can go through those. However, some of the NPC areas in 00 are isolated, are surrounded by player-owned 00, and we aren't allowed to go to these. There's of course also wormhole space, which is also 00 space. We are allowed in wormhole space. Wormhole space can't be claimed by an alliance, although it is often, wormholes are often inhabited, and although there isn't any sovereignty module or something, when you are going into a inhabited wormhole space and the inhabitants wake up and see you there, most of them aren't very happy with that, and they're going to try to kill you. Well, this concludes my slightly longer PvP intro. If you have any questions right now, feel free to ask them in class or on TS. I'm opening TS for now. We are going to take a break, let's say 15 minutes after the questions, and then we are going to form a fleet and head out. Shori Laya asks, what do I do when I sit on my pod in LoSAC or 00 after losing my ship? When you are in your pod, you should get out of any fighting areas and dock up as soon as possible. Whenever you dock up in a pod, you will get a noob ship for free. It will spawn at that station, so you can get into the noob ship immediately. Don't undock. If you're in a fleet, don't undock. Stay in that station. Wait for your fleet commander to give the all clear or to come pick you up at that specific station. John Deere gives a good point. If you are in your pod, don't attempt to jump. If there are no stations in system, then one of the fleet members will have created a safe spot. You should be hanging out there and waiting for the fleet. Excalibur asks, should we get to Alliance channel now? Not yet. I'm going to ask for roles in Alliance after the bio break, and I expect this to be a proper fleet formation, so I'm going to ask for scouts first, then leadership, and then the different roles. I'm going to open up the leadership roles for anyone, so you don't need any leadership roles, leadership skills, but we'll be covering that after the break. Bullborn asks, when I see 4/4/5/4 in the lines set behind the fleet call, what does that mean? It means that the person who does type that is acting up for a leadership role and is listing his leadership skills. Leadership skills also include several warfare skills. Cloud just listed them. There's armor warfare, information warfare, siege warfare, and skirmish warfare. And those numbers represent the levels that player has in those skills. And each of these skills gives a bonus to respectively armor hit points. Information warfare, let me see for a moment, grants a bonus to targeting range. Siege Warfare grants a bonus to shield strength, and Skirmish Warfare grants a bonus to a membership's agility. Okay, I need a drink. I'm going to be AFK for a while. Feel free to keep asking questions in class. I see that there are plenty of members that are prepared to answer them. I'll be back in a few.